tired and weary of things that come up in your life, whether it's strife or maybe even sins that pop up. They seem to badger you. You know, you might even read your Bible one day and you get lifted up and you're just kind of on that high cloud, as they say. You're on the mountaintop. And maybe even listening to a song. And I'm real bad about this. I'm kind of emotional. I'll be singing a song and boy, I'll just, you know, tears will be flowing down my face. And maybe, you know, a week go by, maybe in just a few days, and then something will pop in your head, or you may do something that sin that creeps in or just bothers you, you know. And you might need to get something to get a hold of us to help us push through these times and its burdens. I know that songs and music and things like this can be good for us, but as these days and weeks go through, you know, there it is again, a thought, a deed. Maybe it's an anger issue towards someone who maybe really doesn't deserve it. Maybe there's a lie to get out of something that, you know, that we've done. Lustful thoughts. What about fear? Just fear. How many of you have fear about things? I'm pretty afraid right now. So, what about disbelief? You know, a lot of us, you know, we have doubts and disbelief, like Thomas. Do you have a hot habit of gossiping, murmuring? Fernando Ortega has a line in one of his songs. He says, "You can have this old world. Give me Jesus." But, you know, it seems after we say that, here we go. We're running to and fro like crazy in this world. You know, the things that we have to do on a day-to-day basis. And it seems like it's from daylight to dark. We go, 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 go. And life and the things in life kind of gets down sometimes. And you might say to yourself, well, I don't have none of them problems. You know, in Proverbs 6:16-19, it says, six things that God hates: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to mischief, a false witness, and he that soweth discord. Well, if you once again say, well, I ain't got none of them problems either, well, you're probably guilty of a proud look, a proud heart, maybe even little white lies. So if we're frustrated with these things and that creep up and stuff like that, well, we want to try to improve our walk. Our walk with Christ. Our fellowship with our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Maybe relationships that we have with lost people that we come in contact to on a day-to-day basis. Maybe we need to build some building blocks with our family, our family members, our brothers, our sisters, and whoever, you know, you have in your family that's still alive or that you can come in contact with. Build some of them blocks. So we kind of need to build some muscle. You know, y'all can tell that I work out diligently. So, I get that spoon going really good. But we want to build some muscle within ourselves so that when all these things come up, you know, this walk or these sins pop up, things like that, we want to be able to combat it. You know, we must look somewhere. We have a model. We have an example. It's our Lord. You know, the encouragement that he brings, the encouragement out of the letters in the New Testament and the experience of the Old Testament. And I tell you, I did not do that on purpose. It just, the example, the encouragement, and the experience. Y'all like that? And I did it on accident. Now, I apologize because I did not get finished on this. But what I did is take a study that I've been doing about the examples of Christ, then of the letters, and then the Old Testament. The examples that he brings to us. Why? Because Paul said, I do that I don't want to, but what I hate, I do. Isn't that true? Amen. I recently finished a study that I did in examples of Christ. You know, not so much the attributes, just examples. Then how I expanded it into the epistles so that I went into the Old Testament. And if we are to challenge these things, these sins and challenges, and yes, attacks of the enemy, let's go to who we call ourselves. If we call ourselves Christians, let's go to who we call ourselves. Now, if you're a person that writes down notes, you better make sure you got extra ink, because there are a lot of scriptures, and we're not going to read all these scriptures. I'm just going to give you the scriptures and the paraphrase, because each one of these examples is a study in itself. So, we're not going to read each verse. We're going to pinpoint the subject strength, and it's going to be in sort of an outline, like 1A, 1B, and 1C. And our first example that Christ gave to us is he was the light. You might think, that's an example? Yeah, that's the greatest example we have, maybe. Think about it. Can you imagine being around Jesus on a day-to-day basis? The way he spoke to people, the way that he handled situations. You know, you've been around people that, you know, 5 minutes and that's it, I'm done. But you've also been around people that you kind of maybe, like a little kid, you want to follow them around. There's just something about them, the aura about them. You just, they're just pleasant to be around. But you could imagine being around Jesus, the light. Think about it. Everywhere he went, what he did, what he said, his actions were radiating from him. John 1, 4 through 9, it says he was the true light. John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. John 9, 5, I am the light. 12:35, the light is in you. Ephesians 5, 8, ye are the light of the world. Philippians 2, 5, ye shine as lights. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5, ye are children of light. 2 Peter 1, 19, a light that shineth in a dark place. And in Exodus, and I talked to Sister Artigi about this several months ago, in Exodus it says, during the plagues that Moses stretched forth his hand, and darkness covered all Egypt, but Israel had light in their dwellings. Who do you think that light was? Where do you think that light came from? Letting our light shine. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? You know, when these things come up, and we call ourselves of the Lord, let us stand on that. Let us build some muscle. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 119, 105. The Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His example? Guiding. You know? He gave us a great example here. His Word. And who's the Word? Jesus is the Word. He's a guiding light. Light is sown in Psalm 97. You know, the story about the city on the hill. So, letting our light shine as Christ is the light. Wonderful example. The second example is he called. Matthew 4:18, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Mark 10:21, take up thy cross and follow me. The story of the rich young ruler. Acts 9:6, he told Saul, arise. He called him. 2 Corinthians 4:1-6, calling people to the light. What an example. We all know that God's calling in the Old Testament. I won't give all these verses. But he called Moses. He called Aaron. He called Joshua. He called Amos. He called Gideon. He called Samuel. He called Solomon. He called Jehu. And many others. I've come to find that the Old Testament is much more interesting to me now, maybe it was in the past. Because there were so many people in the Old Testament that are so much like me. And God called them. So using God's example of calling men and women, maybe we can be strengthened if we quiet our souls and our minds and we hear His call for us. And it helps us to think about bringing people to the Lord as well. Among other things, I think of us calling. Remember the woman at the well? After Jesus talked to her, what'd she do? She ran into town. And what'd she do? She invited all those people in town. She invited them. Hey, you need to come here with this guy. He told me everything I know, everything that I've ever done. And I believe it was Philip and Andrew, when they met Jesus, ran to their brethren and invited them to come see Jesus. So an example that Jesus called, we could probably invite and call people to come see Jesus, come hear about Him. What an example. And think about it. If we're thinking about our effect on other people, well, then maybe those little sins and things will go by the wayside. They drop off. The third example that I studied was that he taught. Luke 5:17 says, as he was teaching. Matthew 5:1, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Luke 4:16, and he stood up to read. Luke 24:27, everybody remembers this story. He expounded to them all the scriptures concerning himself. John 7:14, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Amazing, isn't it? Jesus did a lot of teaching, didn't he? In Acts 5:42, ceased not to teach and preach Jesus. What an example. 1 Corinthians 4:17, I teach everywhere. 14:19, might teach 1,000 words, Paul said. Of course, the rest of that verse, some of you know, most of you may know. Than to speak 1,000 or speak 1 word or 10 words in an unknown tongue. Colossians 1:28, teaching man in all wisdom. 3:16, teaching one another. Timothy 1:3, teach no other doctrine. And there's more, so many more. And then in the Old Testament, in Solomon's prayer, taught the good way. Solomon was taught the good way. Psalm 71:17, O God, Thou hast taught me. 119:97, O how I love Thy law. Wow. Proverbs 4:4, He taught me. Isaiah 54:13, and all Thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Okay, once again, what an example. So what do? We teach. We teach our children. We teach our grandchildren. We teach our relatives, our friends. You know, we can be aware of teaching chances on a daily basis. Sometimes it may not be outright witnessing, but I have learned that in casual conversation sometimes that you can teach doctrine or you can teach solid teachings just by having a quick conversation with somebody. You know how somebody can turn somebody off by their language or just by crude talk or something. You can have the opposite effect by teaching something when you're in a casual conversation with somebody. I've heard stories of Indians in the past who are in a constant mode of teaching. Why? It was their survival. They had to survive. It was their survival. So they were the oldest, clean down to the youngest. The oldest was always teaching. What an example for us. As we come and go, can't we be the same? He prayed. The example of Christ is that he prayed. Luke 6:12, he went to a mountain to pray all night. Luke 18, men ought always to pray and not to faint. John 14:16, I will pray. John 17, he prays for his own. Matthew 26:36, sit ye here while I go and pray. Luke 5:16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And believe me, there's more of these verses. But in Ephesians 6:8, it says, praying always. I go back to, and I'll probably come back to it again. You know, if we're in a mindset of some of these examples that Christ gave us, then we can combat those sins. We can combat those doubts. We can combat those fears. We can combat the daily life that brings us down when we're not focused on Christ, on his examples for us. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly before unto the throne of grace. James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In a mode of prayer. Psalm 55:17. If you'll notice the how this works, you go from what in the Gospels to the Epistles to the Old Testament. It's how I did this study. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You guys like verses? If you like to find favorite verses, write this one down. You don't have to write the whole verse. Just write this and go back and read it. Psalm 55:17. If I wrote the right one down. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. Don't stop there. And he shall hear my voice. Genesis 27, and he will pray for thee. 1 Samuel 7:15, I will pray for you. Psalm 5:2, unto thee will I pray. The example, Jesus prayed. The example, the church was charged and encouraged to pray. In the Old Testament, there was a cry for prayer. What an example. 5A, remember outline? He preached. I don't know if anybody's really thought about, you know, he taught, but he also preached. Matthew 4:17, he preached. From that time Jesus began to preach. Mark 2:2, and he preached the word unto them. What do you think the word was? Old Testament. Luke 9, go then and preach the kingdom of God. Acts 8:5. Then Philip went down and preached Christ. Acts 17:18. He preached Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:23. Preached Christ crucified. 15:11. So we preached and ye believed. Well, what about the Old Testament? 1 Chronicles 16:24. Declare his glory. Psalm 9:11. Declare among the people his doings. Psalm 40:10. I have declared thy faithfulness. That's a good one. I like that one. Isaiah 66:19. They shall declare my glory. So, well, how does that apply to us? Well, maybe not everybody, maybe not very many at all, are actual preachers or evangelists or in some kind of office of that type. But you know, we all can declare his glory. We all can declare Christ. We all can be a voice to the lost. Declare, proclaim, report, make known. Kathy got me for Christmas a Greek and Hebrew word Bible, and in preach there, that's what that means, to declare, proclaim, report, or make known. You know, we can make known Jesus in our life by what? Letting our light shine, right? Sometimes maybe it's not that hard. I've known people that were so mean in their workplace, they would never lead anybody to the Lord. Had absolutely no witness, and it was really sad because, you know, they declared to be saved, but wow, they were just plumb mean. Another example, he healed. Matthew 8:7, I will come and heal him. Matthew 10:1-8, he healed the sick. Mark 3, he stretched forth, he told the guy to stretch forth his hand and he healed him. Luke 4:18, heal the brokenhearted. Luke 5, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Luke 9:2, he was sent to heal. John 5:8, he told the guy to rise and walk. So Jesus, his example was, he was going around and he healed people, not only spiritually, but physically. James 5:16 says, pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, that's the first part of that verse we read a while ago. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. Why did Aaron ask for prayer requests a while ago? Scriptural. Amen. Is it not? It's an example. Amen. It is an example in the epistles to pray for one another that ye may be what? Healed. So don't let, well, I'm going to come back to that because it's important. Exodus 15:26. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. 2 Kings 20:1-6, the story of Hezekiah. And he said, I will heal thee. Psalm 41:4, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Psalm 107, God's work among the redeemed. Isaiah 53:5, of course, Jesus, he says, you know, by his stripes we are healed. But you say, well, what are you saying, Brother Billy? I'm telling you, don't underestimate your power to help somebody heal. Now, I didn't say you could heal people. I said, don't underestimate your power to help somebody. To help somebody heal. Brothers and sisters in the Lord who might be hurting, maybe what I first brought up, the frustration, maybe they've been getting frustrated too much. Maybe they need help. Maybe they need you to help them heal. They might be broken. Maybe they just had a bad day. Maybe they're having attacks from the enemy. You can pray for them. Tell them you're praying for them. You can contact them. This is what I put down. I put maybe hugs, a card, hugs, a handshake, hugs, a call, hugs, a good word, a visit. Don't underestimate what you can do for a brother or a sister in Christ. Because Jesus healed, he left it as an example. Jesus served. Matthew 20, 28. Mark 43, 45. He come not to be ministered to, but to minister. And that word means serve. And give his life a ransom. And there's not going to probably be time, but read where he washed the disciples' feet. I wanted to read it, but there's just not going to be time. John 13, 4 through 16. And just read it until it soaks in. Galatians 5, 13. Serve one another. Colossians 3, 23 through 24. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Romans 12, 1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. I heard someone say once that if you're busy in the Lord's work, then the devil won't have any time to get into your mind. Deuteronomy 6:13, fear the Lord and serve him. Deuteronomy 10:12, 20 and 11:13. I do want to go there. This is another one I shared with Sister Artesia that I found. Deuteronomy 10:12. And unfortunately, I got the wrong glasses, but we're going to make it work. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him. This is the part that I really like. To love him and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. Keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day for thy good. And in verse 20, it says, for thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. And that word cleave, I just wish, you know, we could do that. You can imagine what the word cleave, I mean, to grasp, to hold on to not let go. You know, and, you know, I'm probably more guilty than anybody, you know, about, maybe I won't hold on that tight. You know, that's a little too radical. Maybe that's a little too much. But that word cleave, I mean, it does mean to grasp, not to let go. I love that verse. 11:13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I have commanded this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. Some great examples. 1 Chronicles 28:9. It kind of brings it back to us here, though. The examples that Jesus, you know, he served and he ministered and everything that Jesus did. But this here verse says, serve him with a perfect heart. You know, it's easy to go through the motions, you know. Serve him with a perfect heart. Oh, there are many ways to serve. From pastoring a church to washing dishes. I've been on staff at a church. And I've worked in the kitchen. And I can almost say working in the kitchen was a lot more fun. You didn't have a lot of stress that comes to dealing with people sometimes. There were a lot of things. If you've never driven the bus, you got to go with them sometime. It gets pretty wild sometimes. But there are many ways to serve. So we can, look around us, find ways, whatever you're capable of doing. When do I need to stop? Anybody? Everybody talk. Not at once. 1:45? When? Keep going? Okay. Christ had an example of his compassion. Matthew 9:36. He was moved with compassion. 14:14. Moved with compassion toward them. Remember the wicked servant? He told the story about should not had compassion on thy fellow servant. The story of the Good Samaritan. Luke 15:20. The father's compassion for his son. And no, I'm not going to do Luke 15. It seems like every time I do something, I do Luke 15. But remember, his father had compassion on his son. 1 Peter 3:8, having compassion on one another. And in the Old Testament, should I not spare Nineveh because of his compassion? Pity his people, Joel 2:8, Jeremiah 2:9, I will yet plead, Isaiah 60:10, I had mercy on thee, Lamentations 3:22, it is the Lord's mercies. And I found in the Old Testament more verses than we could probably ever read. Last November, right before Christmas, I was having some health problems, and I left work and I went to the ER over at St. Edward's. And, oh my goodness, there were so many people there. I mean, I think we might have got the last seats. Sat there for hours. And as I looked around, and I've told the story to some folks, there were so many people there that I believe, and I've used this statement, there were people that I think that only Jesus could love. But the more I sit there, and then the more I thought about it, the worse it made me feel. I should have had compassion for these folks, because there was some, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, it was people that couldn't hardly walk. It was, you just had to see it. But as I sit there, the days afterwards, I felt really bad that I didn't have compassion for these folks. So that's one of them things that I was talking about that pops up, that frustration, that as a follower of the Lord, I instantly, instead of going, man, I bet these people come here every day. I should have had compassion for them. Jesus gave thanks. Matthew 11:25, I thank thee, O Father. John 11:41, Father, I thank thee, thou hast heard me. Repeatedly he gave thanks at the breaking of bread. Matthew 26:27, he took the cup and gave thanks. And once again, there's just too many verses. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. Philippians 4:6, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and thanksgiving. Revelation 7:12, thanksgiving be unto our God. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Psalm 26:7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. 95:2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. You know, Tiffany tells a story about I get my four girls, well, actually my six girls mixed up sometime. Presley, and she says that Presley's the most unthankful child, unthankful. So then one day, Gentry was acting up, and Gentry was just Ben Gentry. And Tiffany says to Gentry, you are so unthankful. You're the most unthankful child. And, of course, Presley doesn't miss nothing. And she goes, I thought I was. So, them two. But anyway, you know, if we lose our thankfulness, or if we don't have a thankful heart, we have no thankfulness, where are we? We have a great example. Jesus gave thanks. Paul encouraged us to give thanks. And Paul also said, you know, in the last days, that people would be unthankful? Sure makes you wonder. You know, one of them little things, we wonder about who's in charge in Iran or Vladimir Putin has to do with the last days may have more to do with the unthankfulness of mankind than it does Vladimir Putin. He loved. For God so loved the world. Having loved His own, He loved them until the end. Love one another as I have loved you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. Even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, love covers. I'm not done. There's several more to go, but I want to finish. To walk in love, forbearing one another with love, no greater love, that our love may abound. And after all that, and I found this one, I just kind of found it. I actually found it this morning by accident again. I do everything by accident. Colossians 2:2, knit together with love. You know, His example of love, wow, that should be able to help us through all these days or these times that things pop up. Remembering Christ's love for us, that He came, He died, resurrected, coming again. In love. I appreciate everybody for listening. And Aaron, do you want to come and leave a hymn of invitation? If anybody, you know, has things that they want to get off their mind and their soul, there's a altar here. You come and pray. Or you can wait till you go home. But it's here. It's now. This is the time. So I invite you to come.